Let's open your Bible. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Let's read. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Today's title is Obey the Word and Receive the Victory of the Lord. If we look at verse 1, we see that Jesus in this wilderness was led by Spirit to be tried by the devil. This seems a bit odd. Why would the Spirit of God lead Jesus into the devil's trial? The context of preceding the following verses make it clear, but the conclusion is that it was because Jesus, born as a man, was a Son of God. If we look at the preceding verses of today's passage in chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, we read about the time when Jesus was baptized. And in verse 22, we read that there was a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God said that Jesus is my Son. This is declaration that Jesus is the Son of God. From verse 23 to verse 38, which immediately precedes today's passage, we find a genealogical record of Jesus' birth. However, unlike genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, which is written in chronological order, this genealogy in Luke is written in reverse order, that is, from Jesus back to his ancestors. And as we continue with today's wilderness trial, the devil also knew that Jesus is the Son of God and tried him. This is clearly evident and the three times the devil tries Jesus in today's passage. And then, twice in verses 3 and 9, the devil tried Jesus with the words, "If you are the Son of God." The devil tried Jesus because he is the Son of God, because Jesus as the Son of God had a mission to fulfill plan to salvation given to him by God on earth. In order to prevent this, the devil tried Jesus, the Son of God, who was at the same time a weak man. The devil tried to frustrate Jesus' work as the Savior, but it was actually under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and triumphed over the temptation. There is one more thing to consider, and that is our one reading of this passage. As we read this passage, we may wonder how I can overcome the devil's attempt to tempt me. I would like to touch on this later, but the important premise is that we have all been defeated in this attempt, and we lost at the time of the first man. We lost in the Garden of Eden when Adam disobeyed the word of God and ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. But because of this, Jesus, who came as Savior, was led by the Spirit and underwent a trial in the wilderness. Let us look at verse 2. "Where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.'" It is written that Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and he felt hungry. Through his hunger, he can know that he faced this trial as the Son of God, but also as a human being like us. The devil knew this. Therefore, he tried by saying, "Command this stone to become bread." But Jesus rejected the devil's temptation, saying, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone.'" As Jesus said, "It is written," he answered by quoting the word of the Bible. The words Jesus quoted were from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 3. In order to understand Jesus' intention in quoting the word of Deuteronomy, it is necessary to check the background of Deuteronomy 8. Let us read Deuteronomy 8, verse 2 through 6. "These are the words that Moses spoke to the Israelites as they entered Canaan. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 days to humble and test you in order to know that what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his command. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestor had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swear during these 40 days. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. The Israelites, led by Moses, fled Egypt and wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Why did they have to go through such an experience? It was because they disobeyed God and did not believe in him. Even after experiencing God's great work of deliverance from Egypt, they still did not trust God and continued to complain that they had no bread, no water, that they were going to be killed, and that they would have been better off in Egypt. The Israelites were continually plagued by unbelief in the bread. So God sent them on 40 years' journey in the wilderness and fed them in a way they had never thought possible. It was manna. As they harvested the manna each morning, the Israelites experienced that God was indeed alive, and that he would take care of them as he had promised. Israel ate manna, the very food of the Lord's word of promise. If God had kept Israel alive in the wilderness, a place where they had absolutely nothing to rely on, shouldn't help he be able to provide for his people no matter where they ate or what their circumstances are? Therefore, we are told to believe in God and follow him. That is what the Israelites were to learn during their 40 years in the wilderness. But the Exodus generation succumbed to bread test and perished in the wilderness. Jesus knew why the people perished in the wilderness. They did not die because they had nothing to eat. They died because they did not believe and obey God. In fact, what the Israelites lacked was not food, but faith and obedience to God. Eating and living are not highest priorities. Bread is necessary for people. Therefore, the words say, not bread alone. But the highest priority is not eating, but God, who controls and provides even persons eating. Therefore, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, in response to the bread trial. While Matthew emphasizes that the word of God makes people live, Luke's gospel says man does not live by bread alone, and focuses on God, who controls and provides even a person's food rather than eating as the most important priority. The devil also tempts Jesus in this trial to use his power as the Son of God for his one good, he says, "Are you not the Son of God?" Does it make sense for you to be hungry like this? There is no need to wait for God to work. You can change these stones and make bread. Do so. But Jesus did not use his power as the Son of God for himself. Jesus had the power to meet his own needs without God's supply. He supplied But Jesus firmly refused the temptation, not because he could not, but because he did not want to. What Jesus wanted was to obey God's words. He put God first, and accomplished God's will, and lived on earth according to what God had given him. As I mentioned, Jesus has the power to supply water and bread to 5,000 people. But he refused because he believed God, obeyed God. He trusted God, and he refused. From verse 5, second temptation, the devil led him up to high place and showed him in an instant all kingdom of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Now the devil took Jesus to a high place and in a moment showed him all the nations of the world and said, "I will give you all this, the power and the glory of the nations." He tempted him by showing him directly what he could actually see. To give you all the power and glory of nations means to give you the right to rule over them all, to make you king. Since Old Testament times, it has been prophesied that the Messiah would come to save the world and establish an eternal kingdom. Jesus' coming was for the eternal kingdom. The kingdom of God. The devil is talking to us about this. Talking to him about this. He is saying, you don't have to suffer on this earth. Just bow to me, and I will give you all dominion. The devil is presenting a very simple path. Simple and easy. The path presented by the devil does not require struggling with ignorant disciples. It does not require being betrayed by people, and it does not require the suffering of the cross. It does not require taking on the all sins of the world and incurring the wrath of the Father. He is saying that he can skip all this painful process and immediately sit on throne of glory. All he has to do is bow to the devil. But this is not just a question of getting the rain. It is a question of who you obey. The devil is telling him to use different way, an easy way that he had taught him. That is not God's way of getting what God has promised. One word I would like to focus on here is the devil's statement in the second half of verse 6. It is up to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Does the devil really have the power and the glory of the nations entrusted to him? The devil's words are partially true. The devil has authority on earth. For example, 3 times in John's Gospel, Jesus referred to the devil as the ruler of the world. In verse 6, the devil says, it is committed to me, and the word committed is the original word paradidomi, which means to hand something over to someone else. In other words, the devil was handed this from someone else. Or to put it bluntly, he took it from them. In the past, Adam was entrusted by God to rule the earth. But because he obeyed the devil's words instead of God's, it ended up in the devil's hand. However, the devil does not have absolute sovereignty. This was allowed temporarily under God's absolute sovereignty, but in order to keep to him, the devil is now trying to bring even the Son of God to his knees. Thus, when we look at the devil's true intentions, we see his horrifyingly high desire to become a God himself. Jesus saw through this and firmly rejected it. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. This is another quote from Deuteronomy 6, verse 13. Let's look at Deuteronomy. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oath in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of peoples around you. For the Lord your God, who is among you, is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. worshipping God. Worshipping God alone and not following other gods is clearly God's will. Therefore, Jesus clarified who should be worshipped by saying, "Worship the Lord." And he further said, "Serve the Lord alone," emphasizing that God alone is the object of worship. He knew that to bow down to anyone but God to get what one wants is not an easy path, but the path of destruction. The Israelites in the wilderness also choose easy way to get what they wanted, not the way God showed them, but the way that seemed good to them, and they bow down to another God who was not God. Therefore, they caused God's envy and were destroyed by the Lord's wrath. What Jesus wanted was to worship God by living according to God's word and to serve only God by following the way God showed us, not our own way. God's plan for salvation was for the Savior to go through suffering to be glorified, as foretold in the suffering servant through the prophet Isaiah. This meant that he would have to deny himself and take up his cross, but this mentioned that Jesus' fall was the only way to free men enslaved to the devil and make them children of God. This second temptation was failed. Then devil tried third temptation. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to test.'" The devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand at the edge of the temple roof. The reason the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem temple is because this Jerusalem temple is a place of God's presence and protection. He wanted him to jump down there and test whether God would protect him. And the devil, seeing that Jesus answered with the word in two previous trials, now uses the word himself. The devil uses Psalm chapter 91, verse 11 through 12, which says that God protect those who rely on him and shelter themselves in him. The devil used this verse to challenge Jesus, saying that if you are the Son of God, you should have God's protection. However, Jesus rejected the devil's challenge based on the words of Deuteronomy 6. Chapter 6, verse 16. "Do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massah." These words remind us of the time when the Israelites fought against the Lord and tested him in the wilderness in the land of Massa, and they admonish us not to do such thing again. Jesus saw a connection between the devil's attempt to get the Israelites to jump off the mountain and what the Israelites did at Massa. Israelites' attempt to test God in the land of Massa is described in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 7. Although we will not read it due to time constraints, we are told that at this time the people tested him in the wilderness, saying, "Is the Lord in our midst or not?" Because they ran out of water. In other words, the Israelites said that God might not be present when what they sought was not given to them in their own timing. There is a motive here to have God move within the framework that one had set for oneself. The same is true of the devil's attempt. When the person said, "God, you promised me in your word that you would protect me even if I jumped off this temple," and the jump off, he appears to believe in God, but in fact, he is trying to use God as he sees fit. Therefore, Jesus said, "Do not test the Lord your God." Rather, Jesus chose to submit himself to God's sovereignty and yield himself to God in his decisions. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Verse 13. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. The devil's attempt failed, and Jesus was victorious in this attempt. The devil then left Jesus. However, as it says that the devil left for a while, it is implied that the devil would continue to hinder Jesus' work after that. As I said earlier, this trial of the devil is also described in Matthew chapter 4. There is major difference between Matthew and Luke. The order of the trials is different. In Matthew, the first temptation to turn stone into bread. The second temptation confirmed God's protection by jumping down from the temple, and the third temptation to give the nations are described in that order. While in Luke, the temptation to confirm God's protection by jumping down from Jerusalem temple comes last. When consider the reason for this order in Luke, it may be because Luke has something to tell us by putting the trial in Jerusalem at the end. After this trial in the wilderness, the activity of the devil, who had been away from Jesus for some time, will culminate again later in the days here in Jerusalem. This is the passion in which Jesus died on the cross. It was not God's protection that was offered to Jesus in Jerusalem at this time. It was God's wrath. His death as punishment for sin. If the devil's interpretation of the Bible is correct, Jesus should have been protected from death. But God did not. God's will was for Jesus to die as substitute for man's sins. When Jesus was praying in agony in Garden of Gethsemane, before his death on the cross, God sent his angel to strengthen him. He gave Jesus help so that he could go the way of the cross. At the beginning of the sermon, I said the man had already lost to devil's trial. So, is this word not directly relevant to us? Jesus had defeated all the devil's attempts, obeyed God's will even unto death, and resurrected to complete the word of salvation. Therefore, the devil's defeat has already been decided. Therefore, the devil, realizing his own destruction, is now making his last desperate attempt to take as many people as possible with him, so that they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, who is the target of this? It is each and every one of us who are trying to follow the Lord. We must learn from the Word of God today to confront the devil's schemes. We should learn two things. First, there is a trial for those who follow God. Is it a good thing that there is not trial? The devil's goal is to separate people from God. Therefore, if there is no trial at all, it could mean that there is a distance between us and God that devil cannot deal with us. Jesus also went through tribulation and was glorified, and God's help is to give us the strength to follow him even in midst of trials. We should defeat trials by God's power, God's help. The second is how to face trials. The word we read today tells us how Jesus faced trials. Jesus fought the devil with the written word. This does not mean that we cast out the demons by chanting the written word as if it were an incantation. Incantation. We fight the devil by obeying the written word. James chapter 4 verse 7 also says, obey God and fight against the devil, and he will fight against you. Obey God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the same verse in James. James chapter 4 verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Obey God and oppose the devil. Do not resist the devil in your own strength. Then you will lose. We should not try to fight by ourselves. By obeying God, we let God to fight. In other words, we receive God's victory by obeying his word. The devil tries us at all times and in various ways. The important thing for us is not to believe in ourselves. Don't believe in yourself. Believe in God and ask God for help. God has already given us weapons to fight with. Let us take the sword of the word in our hands. Do not believe ourselves. Believe in God and live by God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words. Trials we defeated, but you won. We find hope. And we remember you surveyed us by your life. Let us walk following you. Please give the power. Give your power. We need the power you give us. Dear God, we are going to have Holy Communion. Please give your power through the service and make us strong. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.